जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जयो गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी शोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना तीर वन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जयो गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी शोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चारी यमुना तीर वन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ शिव कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवदीप धाम की जय। गंगा देवी यमुना देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। नितय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरे हरि गौ। ओ ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Prabhupada and Mataji, thank you very much for assembling this morning on Srimad Bhagavatam class. It is my honor as well as pleasure to be with all of you today in this holy dham of Sri Mayapur. Today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 17th chapter, entitled The Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. The verse 8. Please repeat after me. Shri Aditi Huvacha Yakya Isha Yakya Purusha Achyuta Tirthapada Tirthashravaha Shravanam Mangalam Namadheyam Appannam, Loka, Vrijanam, Upashamam, Udayam, Adyam, Sham, Nah, Kridi, Isham, Bhagavan, Asi, Dinanatha. Shri Aditi Ruvacha Yagnesha Yagya Purushachuta Tirtha Pada Yagnesha Yagya Purushachuta Tirtha Pada Tirtha Shravashravana Mangala Namadeya Tirtha Shravakshravana Mangala Namadeya Apanna Loka Vrijino Pashamo Dayadya Apanna Loka Vrijino Pashamo Dayadya Shamna Kridisha Bhagavan Asidina Nata Shamna Kridisha Bhagavan Asidina Nata Shri Aditi Ruvacham Yagnesha Yagya Purushachuta Tirtha Padam Tirtha Shrava Shravana Mangala Namadeya Appanna Loka Vrijino Pashamo Dayadya Shamna Kridisha Bhagavan Asidina Nata
Yeah. श्रीयदितिरुवाच
Aditi Uvacha. The demigoddess Aditi said, Yajna Isha, O controller of all sacrificial ceremonies, Yajna Purusha, the person who enjoys the benefits of all sacrifices, Achyuta, infallible, Tirthapadam, at whose lotus feet stand all the holy places of pilgrimage. Tirthashravaham, celebrated as the ultimate shelter of all saintly persons. Shravanam, hearing about whom Mangalam is auspicious. Namadheyam, to chant his name is also auspicious. Apanam, surrendered. Lokam, of people. Vrijanam, dangerous material position. Upashamam, diminishing. Udayam, who has appeared. Adya, the original personality of Godhead. Sham, auspiciousness. Nal, our. Kridi, kindly bestow upon us. Isha, O supreme controller. Bhagavan, O Lord. Asi, you are. Dinanatham, the only shelter of the downtrodden. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, I see Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The goddess Aditi said, O master and enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, O infallible and most famous person, whose name, when chanted, spreads all good fortune. O original supreme personality of Godhead, Supreme Controller, shelter of all holy places, you are the shelter of all poor, suffering living entities, and you have appeared to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us and spread our good fortune. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of those who observe vows and austerities. It is He who bestows benedictions upon them. He is worshipable for the devotee throughout the devotee's life, for he never breaks his promises. As he says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. The Lord is addressed here as Achyuta, the infallible. Because he takes care of his devotees, anyone inimical to the devotees is certainly vanquished by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is the source of the Ganges water, and therefore He is addressed here as Tirthapada, indicating that all the holy places are at His lotus feet, or that whatever He touches with His foot becomes a holy place. Bhagavad Gita, for example, begins with the words Dharma Kshetra Kuru Kshetra. Because the Lord was present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it became a Dharma Kshetra, a place of pilgrimage. Therefore, the Pandavas, who were extremely religious, were assured of victory. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays His pastimes, such as Vrindavan or Dwaraka, becomes a holy place. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is pleasing to the ear, and it expands good fortune to the audience who hears it chanted. Owing to the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi was fully assured that the troublesome condition created for her by the demons would now be ended. So the Vishaya, or the subject matter of today's verse, is praying to the Lord for the protection. How is devotee praying to the Lord for his protection? And the adhikar, or the qualification of students for whom these teachings or lessons are meant for, are the devotees who are performing devotional service in Rajaguna. Certainly this is connected with karma or karma mishra bhakti. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting that one very significant thing in this verse is that although Aditi had desire to regain the heavenly planets or her position, she did it as a matter of duty. So that is quite different from those things which we are praying for our sense enjoyment. And the goal of her activities was to please the Lord. Because it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam that although we can have many desires or non-desire, we should always worship the Lord with Tivrena Bhakti. Akama sarva kamova moksha kamo daradi tivrena bhakti yogena tyajate purushena puman. So although we may not have desires, akama, we may be jnani, we may have many desires like karmi, we should always worship the Lord with the Shuddha Bhakti. And that is the significance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us how to attain the Supreme Lord, and who will take care for all our needs. The Lord Chaitanya taught us actually how to understand these teachings through his teachings of Vastutraya, Sambandha Videya Prayojana. He said that all Vedas, only these three things are taught. Sambandha Videya Prayojana. Sambandha is our relationship with Bhagavan. Abideya is the process by which we are attaining the Lord, and Prayojana is the goal or the prema. So in the same light we should see the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya specifically said that in Srimad Bhagavatam there is only these three things. Sambandha Videya and Prayojanam. And interestingly, we see that Aditi is praying for something which is seemingly material. So we would like to discuss this today. Actually, all Vedic literature can be classified on these three, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. Therefore, we have original Chaturveda, four Vedas, Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva, and they are Sambandha, the foundational teachings. Then Shatvedanga is the Abhideya, or the process by which we are trying to attain the Lord. And Upangas are showing the result. In the light of today's verse, we can see that Aditi was mentioned in the Vedas, the same story it was mentioned there. In the Rig Veda especially, it is mentioned her position. She is taking the Payavrata from the Kalpa Sutra, which is Shatvedanga. She is performing this process. And Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas and Itihasas, we can see the examples of devotees who perform these activities for the pleasure of the Lord. In the same way, we should understand today's verse. In other Vedic literature, they might be prescribed different ritualistic processes without connection with the Lord, but in Srimad Bhagavatam, the real purpose of these ritualistic processes is established. In the same way as Payavrata. Someone may think, why would devotee perform such activities as Payavrata to attain something material? But actually, the only method to attain the Lord is Vedic process. It is ritualistic ceremonies described in the Vedas. What we can learn from Srimad Bhagavatam is the mood and attitude how to perform these activities. That is the unique position of Srimad Bhagavatam. That although in other Puranas, the ritualistic ceremonies may not be explained in such a pure way or for the pleasure of the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amala Purana, these teachings are completely described. Therefore, we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas are considering Srimad Bhagavatam as the Paramahamsa Samhita, or for those who are trying to become swan-like devotees. So that is the unique teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam, but we should not neglect the understanding from other Vedas, because in other Vedas and the Vedangas, we can see the details. For example, here it is mentioned that the holy name of the Lord should be chanted. But we are chanting the holy name which is prescribed in the Vedas. Mahamantra is prescribed in the Vedas. It is from Kalisantarana Upanishad. So the Vedic mantra might be chanted in different traditions in different way, but by the mercy of Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, we are chanting in a pure way, with a Shuddha Bhakti. At least we are trying to reach that platform. So this is how we should understand these teachings of prayers of Aditi. And the sambandha of today's verse is Yajna Isha or Yajna Purusha. How to understand the Supreme Lord who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. The process which is there is Payavrata, that is Abhideya. And the real goal is Tushti, or the pleasure of the Lord. Only those who are devotees are actually looking for the pleasure of the Lord. So we should consider Aditi as a devotee. So the teaching behind is that how we should progress in our life. Because although we are performing Bhakti Yoga, still we have material desires. How to deal with these material desires, especially by performing devotional service, we get so much punya, and there is ability to fulfill our desires, hidden desires. So how we will fulfill our desires in accordance to the Lord's will. And the Aditi showed actually that she is not asking for something from the Lord, something new. She is asking which is given by the Lord. She and her sons are actually residents of a Swargaloka. She is the mother of all demigods. She is called Devatamayi or Devatamata. She is universal motherhood actually. All motherhood which we see in the Mataji is actually coming from her. Of course, finally coming from Lakshmi and Srimati Radharani, but directly coming from her in this universe. So she as a mother is teaching us how to depend on the Lord. And this is actually original feminism. We see what is Vedic feminism. Vedic feminism is not about protecting women's rights, but is it, it is about how to perform women's duties. It's quite different. If we are trying to protect our rights, we will see others through our perspective. We will try to enjoy them. And that is materialistic. Vedic version is that we should see our other's position through our position. If I am mother, I should protect my sons. So we are not expecting others to serve us. We are serving them through our position. And that is called dharma. So Vedic feminism is really about gaining feminine qualities in the ladies. It is not about protecting protecting their rights. Since we are living in this age of Kali, actually no one gets real protection from the king. So the thing which ladies in this age can request is for men to perform their duties to protect them. That is the solution. If ladies are requesting, why you're not protecting me? Then this is femininity. Otherwise, you become independent, you become feminine masculinity, which is lower class of feminine nature. It is sensual, it can be also sexual. This lower qualities, sat, rajas and tamas. So the real Vedic femininity we can see in the motherhood of Aditi, in order to protect her sons, and we can see in the example of Draupadi. Draupadi is asking, why are you not protecting me? How can this happen in the kingdom of Yudhishthir, in the presence of Bhishmadev? So that is the real message of Vedas. The men should protect the ladies. And then the woman's qualities will be manifested. And these good qualities will make nice progeny. And this is concern of Arjuna also in Bhagavad Gita. The first concern, he is thinking about the progeny. If leaders are killed, this will make unchaste wives. And this will finally lead to degraded progeny, Varna Sankara. So if we see how actually those who are performing dharma, they are thinking how to protect others, how to serve others. It is not about emancipating others for our own sense gratification. So this is a real example, an original example of Vedic feminism. So as a mother, she is teaching us how to perform her duties. She wanted to regain the heavenly planets for her sons because this is natural position. It's very much connected for our understanding of Varnashram Dharma. Because Varnashram Dharma can start only on the level of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And this example is example of Nishkama Karma. She actually doesn't want to enjoy. This is not the example of Sakama Karma Yoga. She doesn't want to enjoy the benefits from the Lord. She wants to protect the facilities which was given by the Lord. Because demigods finally belongs to the heavenly planets. And asuras belongs to demoniac planets. In the heavenly planets we find so many pleasures. Therefore it's called Sura Loka. Sura means good pleasure, fine pleasure, nice pleasure. And asura means without fine pleasure. So demons doesn't belong to heavenly planets. So by these prayers we can see how devotee should protect the position of his service in this world. The teachings of of Dharma are exemplified in Nishkama Karma Yoga. And we should know there is only one, finally one yoga. Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, there is a ladder of yoga, but there is only one yoga. Finally leads to Bhakti Yoga. So all the devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, we should see on that progress of yoga ladder. So here in 8th canto we see how Aditi is performing devotional service with desire. But that desire is actually to protect the position given by the Lord. That is her teachings. And the Lord is actually finally saying in Bhagavad Gita that His devotee never perishes. Name bhaktiya pranashyatim. So Lord is achyuta, and very nice and significant definition Srila Prabhupada is giving. The Lord is infallible because He takes care of His devotees. He is not only infallible as the on His position of Supreme God. He is actually infallible in His position of the reciprocator with His devotees. Therefore He is called achyuta. And only in presence of such achyuta the devotee can fully surrender. Just take for example the Lord achyuta infallible, His masculine principle. In His presence devotee feels always protected. He's always feel dependent on the Lord. Although the jiva is fallible, can fall down, the Lord is always infallible, always coming to have relationship with His devotees. It's very significant for us. So the jiva by his nature is actually in a feminine position. And depending on infallible the Lord, His complete nature can be revealed. Otherwise our real nature cannot be revealed. So only the presence of achyuta, our real potency, can be revealed. That we are always depending on His mercy. So these teachings are very much corresponding to the teachings of Nectar of Devotion, where we can see the Ashraya and Vishaya, that the Lord is the supreme Vishaya and the devotee is the Ashraya of that love. So devotee is the residence of that love can be only manifested if the Lord is showing his real nature. The Lord is achyuta, then only the nature of devotee can be manifested. And the Aditi is showing by previous prayers that she is very much inspired by the darshan of the Lord. She has the symptoms of anubhava by seeing the Lord's yellow garments, by seeing His bodily symptoms. She is very inspired by Him. So this is the teachings of anubhava, how vibhava is actually manifesting our inner consciousness and creating the effect of ecstasy in devotees. Just like in material world, the someone is inspired by seeing beautiful forms, by seeing nature. In the same way, when the devotee sees the same forms and the qualities in the nature, he is remembering the Lord. So Aditi is teaching us actually how the original form of the Lord is present everywhere. So if we want to remember the Lord, we can remember Him always by seeing His qualities in material nature. And that is also one part of progressing in yoga to see everything on the Brahman level, or Paramatma and Bhagavan level. Seeing the qualities in the nature is the level of Brahman. Seeing the knowledge and activities in the material nature is the level of Paramatma. And finally, seeing the mood and the pleasure in this world is actually the level of Bhagavan. So only the devotee who knows the nature of the Lord, he can always remember the Lord by seeing these material objects, so-called material objects. So the deity as a mother of the whole universe and devas, by these teachings is giving us progress in our devotional service. How to progress and maintain our material needs. Because the devotees sometimes think that everyone is following Nivritti Marga. But many times, or most of the devotees are following Pravritti Marga, the path of accepting the Lord, the facilities in the Lord's service. So we should learn how to see these facilities in connection with the Lord. We think actually that for us these Vedas are not relevant. But if we neglect the Vedas, we will just use our material understanding for the service of the Lord. And that might not be so much beneficial, and might not create success, desired success in our life. In the same Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the real Dharma, it is coming from the Lord. So this Dharma is prescribed in the Vedas. So instead of applying our material conceptions in the devotional service, we should use these concepts from the Vedas and apply it in our life and be successful in devotional service. And finally, one of the side effects and results will be that our material needs will be protected. So with these considerations, I would like to stop here and ask maybe there is some question of or any comment. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. Prabhu, you told when we are observing the nature, in a different way of observing, and accordingly, you know, we can realize Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So I couldn't get it. So can you please elaborate it? Way of seeing the nature, as you were telling that we can see, like we can see Brahman, we can see the Paramatma and Bhagavan. So can you please elaborate it?
Yes. So the Brahman and Paramatma feature exist only in material world. And the devotees who are on transcendental platform, although living in the material energy, actually they see only Bhagavan. Actually only Bhagavan exists, because other two are just elements of Him. But for our studying and understanding, we need to take in consideration this division. So the three energies of the Lord are Jnana, Kriya and Icha. Jnana is the knowledge, Kriya is the activities, and Icha is desire. So the Jnana or the knowledge is the Brahman level, Sat, existence. Then the Kriya is a Chit, the activities performed with the with the knowledge, with the consciousness, and the Ananda is the pleasure attained from proper execution of activities with knowledge. So these three aspects we should see as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Brahman is the Jnana, the knowledge which you can observe the world, because there is no difference between the Lord and His energies. The qualities of this world are actually Brahman's qualities. The activities are performed by Super Soul, in a sense that under the supervision of the Super Soul, and the pleasure, the personal pleasure which we obtain, is actually not our pleasure, it's Krishna's pleasure. We think that we are enjoying, but we are the instrument. We are always in pursuance of pleasure, but we can obtain pleasure only by serving. Because we think we are independent, we think we are enjoying, but actually we are always dependent. For example, we are using so many tables or technology to serve the Lord. So we are dependent on this energy. Dependent is always enjoyed, is not enjoying. So we are enjoyed actually by this microphone. He is independent, his nature, his dharma is not dependent on us. So we are serving him, and he is serving the Lord. So we are serving the Lord through either material nature or spiritual nature. So by seeing the service in this world to the Lord, we can see His Bhagavan aspect.
So how you relate Ichha with the Bhagavan feature of the Lord, Ichha?
Can you repeat please?
As you told that there are three potencies of the Lord.
Yeah.
Ichha, Kriya and Gyan. It is connected with the Lord Bhagavan.
How they are related?
Yeah.
So Lord is Satchitananda Vigraha, the form, eternal form of knowledge and bliss. So with this form actually the three energies are corresponding. In his original energies. Jnana is a Sat or existence. You can observe that everything in this room have a existence, the original natural position. The activities should be done according to that positions. And only if you have proper mood, you will again attain pleasure. So the last one is Ichha. Ichha is connected with Ananda. So only when you have a proper mood, you will attain the pleasure. So you may have the knowledge, you may perform your activities perfectly, but if you don't have a nice mood, you will never attain that pleasure. The problem is that in this world we think we are enjoying, but we are actually enjoyed. And the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed actually that it's better to be enjoyed than to enjoy. He wanted to see what is the pleasure of being enjoyed. Thank you very much. Some other question? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for the thought-provoking class. You said that she was in Nishkama Karma Yoga. In her mentality and in the performance of her duty. I wonder if that is so, respectfully, because Kashyapa Muni, he was amazed at the illusory energy of the Lord which bewilders even those in the heavenly planet.
Prabhu, I would request if you can speak louder, because here somehow I cannot hear because of fans.
There were several verses in which Kashyapa Muni said that his wife was bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, considering that the bodies of her sons were actually her sons instead of material energy, and the living entities being the Lord's servants. So, you're trying to convince us that she was in Nishkama Karma Yoga from the get-go, and that, this was simply the performance of duty, where without accepting that there was some attachment on her part, which would be the,
Yes. Actually, that is one part of of this lesson which I didn't explain completely or maybe perfectly. The thing is that if we want to achieve anything in our life, we need to focus on Nishkama Karma Yoga. Nishkama Karma Yoga is the essence of success. Although you may have a material desire, you will attain it better if you will fulfill that desire if you focus on activity, not on fulfilling the desire. Simply that means if I want to fulfill my hunger, I should not focus on diminishing the hunger, I should focus on eating. So when you focus on eating, that desire is naturally satisfied. So in the same way, for the if you want to fulfill an immaterial desire, but the process should be without desire. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining, that although you may have desire, but you should perform the process without desire to fulfill that. Like Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted to gain the kingdom better than his grandfather. But the process was without desire. Because if you have desire, you will think about the desire and focus, concentration will be less. And you will not be able to fulfill that desire.
I appreciate you clarifying, because in one sense, if you were to neglect the fact that she was attached, you would be minimizing the potency of the bhakti that she performed under the guidance of her husband. Because by putting her desire in the back shelf, you're saying you shouldn't have the desire, but she had the desire. She just didn't think about it and she didn't focus on it. Krishna knew she had the desire, and that's why he fulfilled her desire, because she had pleased him through the performance of bhakti under the instruction of her husband. So I appreciate you having clarified that.
Yes, for activity, for performance of activity, we should not have a desire to enjoy. Although you may have this desire, desire is there. But in order to please the Lord and fulfill that desire through bhakti yoga, you should put that desire on the side and concentrate on the bhakti, tivrena bhakti again. That is the teaching. So we should differentiate between desire to enjoy results and the activity to fulfill that desire. Therefore Srimad Bhagavatam is unique literature. In Srimad Bhagavatam we see how the other Kaitava dharmas are removed. Because in other scriptures, that may be said that you should not do Tivrena Bhakti Yogana to fulfill your desire. But the Lord wants to attract us through any way. So even to His devotees, He's purifying them by fulfilling their desires according to His will. One significant thing is that her desire is on the level of Manomaya. Manomaya is the level of Dharma. In a sense that she sees in connection with the Lord. This is, my sons have a position given by you. So we may say that these material desires are wrong, but we need to classify them in order to progress. It's not that all material desires are same.
No, I'm not saying it was a sinful material desire.
Yes,
but
yes.
It was a mundane desire.
Yes, yes, that of course. But we see the result. Finally, there is the result of performing her payavrata. The Lord came, she got a darshan, and the Lord took a shelter of her womb as a vamanada.
This is the wonderful thing about this whole section of the Bhagavatam, because she got what she wanted. She got more than what she wanted. You're attached to your sons, I'll become your son.
Thank you so much.
Indra gets his kingdom back. But ultimately, Balimraj, he gets the son of Aditi constantly serving as the doorkeeper, and when that's all said and done, doing his dharma as the king of the demons under the protection and sanction or guidance of the Lord, then he gets the kingdom back again as Indra in the next. So who really gets the most potent or the most complete aspect of mercy in all
yes,
of it?
Yes. We see how Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching that even demons, if they're performing bhakti, they will attain better results. In first six chapter cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see how demigods use bhakti to attain success in life. But in further chapters, we see how demons use bhakti and overcome demigods. Bali Maharaj, he performed Vishwajit Yagya by instruction of his guru, Shukracharya. And he did it for the pleasure of the Lord, and finally he got the position. So that whoever may be Sura or Asura, if he performs Bhakti Yoga, he'll be more successful than others.
Because you're so analytical, and I'm very appreciative of that. He didn't get Krishna because of the performance of the Dharma he followed by Shukracharya. He got that because of the siksha of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. Shukracharya was leading him. He came to the finish line of, here's Vishnu, you have a chance to surrender. And that's Maharaj kicked in where, what heck in here? I have the opportunity to make it perfect. That's just a minor detail of what you just got through saying, I think.
Prabhu, you'll need to excuse me. Somehow I don't hear you properly. Maybe because of acoustics, because of fan. But thank you very much. Maybe after class we can share some more thoughts. There is one more question over there.
Prabhu, there are 10 offenses that are to be avoided while chanting the holy names of the Lord. So there's this 10th offense to maintain materialistic attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So is our system pravritti or nivritti? Can I ask Jananivas Prabhu?
Again, I need to request to speak louder.
Oh, you couldn't hear from the beginning?
I heard the first part till the 10th offense.
Okay, so you were mentioning about pravritti and nivritti. Sorry. So, our path of devotional service, you know, of pure devotional service, it's nivritti, I understand. So, can I get some clarification from Jananivas Prabhu, if I can? Can I? Can we?
So how to engage pravritti marga and avoid the offenses? Is that the question?
No. I said nivritti marga.
Yes.
Our process is pure devotional service. So all initiated devotees, would they practice nivritti marga or pravritti marga? You know, I wanted clarification. I suppose it is nivritti marga. So I need some clarification.
The nivritti marga is the path of renunciation is meant for brahmacharis and vanaprastha sannyasis, and for grihasthas pravritti marga. But Srila Prabhupada teaches us that grihasthas who are engaging everything for the pleasure of the Lord according to his desires, they're also performing nivritti, or that they're engaging according to the rules of pravritti, they are practicing nivritti marga. Do you understand?
So that means that they don't increase any materialistic attachments. They have to deduce it.
Excuse me?
That means that have to increase any materialistic attachments, but they have to deduce it, reduce it, deducting, keep deducting it.
Yes, certainly if you're not just chanting, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and doing Bhagavad Vidhi, you have material attachments.
I'm sorry, I think that is but if they can increase the volume there.
Yeah, I understood your questions. That
I
is actually
pull my voice out more than that.
Please, I understood your question. Please allow me to answer. So, but for devotees who have their material attachments, what is the process for them? And Srimad Bhagavatam is showing so many of them. So those who have material attachments, how to engage them in the Lord's service, but not according to their wish, according to scriptural rules and injunctions. Because those who are neglecting scriptural rules and regulations, injunctions, they are considered demoniac. How you can progress in that way? So that is the same teaching. If you have material desire, you want to fulfill that desire, but practice bhakti yoga, tivrena bhakti. Purify yourself by bhakti, and then naturally your desire will be fulfilled according to Lord's will. He knows better how to fulfill. Like Prabhu said that he became a son. He wanted to have a son in a heavenly planet. And Lord became her son.
Can I ask something? The seventh offense also says that seventh or eighth, it is karma kanda. We cannot accept that one. While chanting, we cannot indulge in karma kanda activities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that is there. But I'll ask you. The time we should actually stop. But I'll ask you one question. We should understand what is karma kanda. Karma kanda is just mentality. It's not the rituals in the Vedas.
Basically, you say that offenses must be avoided, but one can
certainly. But the karma kanda.
One can dovetail their materialistic attachments in Krishna.
Just try to understand. Karma kanda is not the activity; it's the mentality. Anyway, the time is finished, so we'll stop here and we'll discuss later. Gandharvan Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.